Beast OCR proudly presents BeastNet Podcast, sponsored in part by GH Under's performance-based layers and supported by the OCR community. Here we discuss all things OCR related. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everyone, this is Mike with BeastNet Podcast. I'm here with Jesse from West Coast Obstacles.
Hello.
And Michael Williamson.
Hey.
We're just going to talk about a few things and kind of, you know, have a little fun here, see how this works and go with it.
Mike's excellent adventure.
They keep arguing over if it's excellent or epic, but whatever. It's an awesome thing. But first, I want to actually go over. Me and Jesse both just got back from
Montana
this weekend. And Jody, but she's behind the camera, so you can't see her. Say hi, Jody.
Hi.
Thank you.
So, what do you think of Montana?
Montana was it's always a beautiful experience, especially where we stayed. Beast Barracks. Like, you know, let's just mention Beast OCR, where this podcast, like everything.
Yep.
You know, awesome community of people. Like that whole cabin we rented, there was, I think, 17, maybe 20 people there?
Yeah, there was a few.
And they're all people that, like, we all have lives that are separate, but we all just come to a common ground and we just enjoy being alive. It doesn't matter where you're coming from, like your social standing or, you know, what you do for a living or what your spiritual faith is or anything like that, you know. But we come to there and we come to all these races, all that stuff goes away.
Yeah.
And we just accept that we're all people and we're enjoying life for those moments together.
Oh, yeah, we're having fun. And it is. And I mean, and that's very true. I mean, it's so true. I've had so many people I've met just doing like the podcast where I've talked to them and found out about careers and stuff I didn't even know they were in. I mean, it's like, oh, you do what for a living? You know, and it's a pretty cool thing.
Huh. So it is. And like the weather was awesome. The race course though, man, I cramped.
I cramped towards
2 miles to the end, and I've never cramped before for whatever reasons. Certain things I slacked off on, and certain things, who knows? It was just life.
Forgot to eat your bananas.
I ate a couple of them afterwards, but that doesn't help. I didn't bring it. You know, I never bring nutrition on the course. I always bring just Snickers, but this time I didn't bring any Snickers, which could have been why.
Yeah, you need your Snickers.
Right.
He was complaining about his Snickers that morning. He needed his Snickers.
Right. So I had to go with what I had, right? And all I had was a sandwich bag full of Red Vines.
Maybe that was it was Tatiana, you know, wasn't going to let you get Snickers because she was trying to beat you.
That's what it was.
That's what it was. Tatiana was trying to beat you.
And she almost did.
She almost kicked some butt.
She was 10 minutes behind me, which is absolutely amazing.
Oh, it is. I mean, fourth place in her age group. Oh.
And that might have came across wrong because what? It's amazing that she almost caught me. Don't get me wrong.
No, she's like
she's every race.
She's getting better.
She does, man. And she only started like less than a year ago or so.
I've said before, within a year, she's going to beat you.
Yes. And she was 7 minutes from taking
third place in her age group.
Yep. Which that in itself is amazing for a 25-year-old female
who just started doing this. She's not.
Right.
I mean, if you know her background, she's not an athlete. She's not someone that grew up being an athlete. She became an athlete.
Right.
So.
Like a butterfly.
Yes. She came out of a cocoon or whatever they call it.
I think it's a cocoon.
Is it a cocoon? Did I actually get that right? Yes.
No, I think caterpillars come. Anyway.
But caterpillars turn into butterflies. We'll get into that later.
They do it twice?
Caterpillars turn into butterflies.
What's a caterpillar start out as?
I don't know.
Another episode.
That's another episode. We'll get into that later.
Okay.
That's all science-y.
Mike. So let's tell us about like this adventure, like excursion thing you're going to go on and why.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been going through a rough time with work for a few years now and, you know, various issues in the business world that probably most of you have faced before. Business reorganizations. You know, higher demands, less people, and, you know, find myself working 6 days a week, on the road traveling, and just have grown into kind of like this miserable sludge of a human.
Sludge of a human. I'm taking that.
I don't like life anymore, and I've become so miserable and this person that I don't want to be. I'm just depressed, and I had to make a change. And is really hard because I've been in this job for 11 years now, and that's really a long time to be committed to a single organization and thing. And it's been a career. I've done well at it. But I needed to make a change. I needed to start living again. And so I decided to kind of set myself up for this pilgrimage and go on this long saunter to Mexico, from Canada to Mexico along the PCT.
What?
The Pacific Crest Trail.
So you're going to hike this thing out.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's going to go
walk it out.
Down across the Cascades, down to the Sierra Nevadas. I'll go across the Sierra Nevadas and down to the Mojave, and then I'll cross the Mojave down to Mexico.
The desert?
Yeah.
You're going to go
desert.
Across the desert?
Yeah. That's the part that's going to be the
it's going to be interesting.
Challenging section, yeah.
And just so everyone knows, I mean, he's talking about walking, just so no one thinks this is a bike ride or a drive. He's going to walk from Canada to Mexico.
Possibly run some of it.
Possibly run some of it, but from Canada to Mexico.
Yeah, the downhill.
So, and it's one of those things you mentioned, you know, like work and, you know, not being happy with where you're at. I mean, that's something that I find, you know, dear to my heart. I mean, that's one of the issues I've had recently where I had issues with work. I didn't make a big jump like you did. I just switched careers. But it's happiness is such a hard thing to get sometimes. And some people are happy with just being successful and doing great at their jobs, but it's not a fulfilling life. And it's amazing to see someone like you who's decided, you know, I've been doing this for 11 years, but I'm not fulfilled.
Right.
I'm not happy. This isn't who I want to be.
Right. And you're like, you're done with it though. That's what's amazing. It's like, so you're not wrapped up in addiction or any like kind of like self-destruction chaos thing. You're actually to the outside person. Your life is pretty good. I mean, you're doing a lot better than a lot of people, and it's not like you're taking it for granted. You're just spiritually broke.
Yeah. I'm just unhappy.
Right. And instead of enduring through life, you're like, hey, well, this is where it's at. This is the end of it, the road. From what I grasp, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you recognize that there's more to life. And like, so when we all start out in an occupation, we start at, say, a certain monetary amount. We do put a lot of energy and time into it, getting better at our job so we can gain more money.
Yeah.
And the initial motivation is so that we can make our lives outside of work better. And then what happens down the road, we get just wrapped up in what we do for a living that we forget why we do it all. And that's for the amount of time that we get to spend on ourselves or with the people that we love. Or the dog. If you got a dog, I get it.
Or just spending time in nature and having a blast.
Right. Is that period of time of why the hell we're working. And that we forget that and that we spend our whole lives stressing over work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's totally where I've come to is I don't exist as an individual anymore. I don't thrive as an individual anymore. I exist solely for work, as you know, to make some corporation money and to further their cause by basically depleting my life.
Right.
And I'm ready to start thriving again and enjoying my life again. There's so much more out there and so much more to experience in this, you know, blessing that we have in this moment in time. We get to experience life.
Yeah. And that's awesome. I mean, that's one of the things, you know, it's like I said, I mean, you get so entitled into the corporate culture and you start going and I mean, you start working, you know, 10, 12 hours a day because you got to get this done so that you don't have to do it tomorrow. But now you've worked 10 or 12 hours a day. You get home. You don't want to do anything. You're stressed out. You're gaining weight. You know, like I said, my old job, 10, 12 hours a day, sitting at a desk all day. And the only time I got up was so I could walk outside to have a cigarette.
Right.
Then I quit smoking and I lost any will to go outside. There were days that I would walk into work at 7 o'clock in the morning and I would leave my desk at 5 o'clock.
Right.
Never getting up to do anything because I had to get my stuff done. And it's just by the time you get home, you're tired. You don't want to do anything. You quit going outside. You quit seeing people. You become you're going to the store. You're buying a fifth of whiskey every other day because you need something to kill the pain. I mean, it's –
absolutely. And you know what
you
I found –
need to get away from it.
What I found myself into too is, you know, like I kept getting pressured for more and more time with less and less resources. So I was working late into the evenings and not sleeping as well, which that affects
yep.
your – you know, your weight, your health, and then not exercising, and everything just kind of, it snowballs, and it sneaks up on you like that. And then furthermore, to snowball and make things even worse, you know, when you become depressed and you gain weight from, you know, this terrible, unhealthy lifestyle, you know, you don't want to be around people. You don't want to be seen in public anymore. And so, you know, over the course of the last year, I've just kind of become this miserable pile of sludge. Yeah. And, you know, I used to love going out into the mountains and hiking and backpacking and doing those sorts of things. And I haven't done those in a year. Just even going out and visiting with friends and having good conversations with people, just, you know, a crucial element to just even finding some sort of happiness is a social circle of supportive, happy friends. I've been embarrassed to be seen by friends even. So I basically, you know, when I can find my 36 hours a week that I'm not working and just home from business trips, I'm sitting at home and washing clothes and, you know, scared to go outside my door because...
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm going to.
All right.
Go back to what, 36 hours a week.
Yeah.
So
most weeks I would leave work, or I would leave for work on a Sunday, get on an airplane, fly to another city, and living out of a hotel and on the road and, traveling out to, the locations where I do meetings with people. And then I'd fly home late on a Friday and have to turn myself around between Friday night and all day Saturday so I could fly out again the next Sunday. So gave me about 36 hours a week where I was actually coming home from work.
It's the reason that took me aside is because you actually counted the actual hours that you have of your life that's not dedicated to work, which is amazing because that just screams that you're unhappy.
Yeah.
Because most of us get off work and are like, yay, we had this time. But you're like, I've logged it, I've blocked it, and I've charted it. And I have this much time to myself, and I'm unhappy with it. Because
I mean, 36 hours, that's...
It's not a lot.
Not a lot of time.
I mean, because you've got to include the time that you're sleeping.
Yeah.
That's, you know, including the time you're sleeping.
8 to 10 hours. You know, when you're feeling crappy like that, it's pretty easy to sleep in and not want to get out of bed for a few hours. So 10 hours in bed.
Right.
Like that. It's not,
so I love that. That's beautiful stuff right there. So anybody that's watching this, I want you to go and sit down and...
Do the math.
Do the math exactly on how many hours you have every day that you're not thinking about work, or how you're going to support your house and your everything, your castle, let's call it, that you're not dedicating that to it. And where the rest of that time is, like the 36 hours Mike's talking about, is where you're actually living your life. And what are you doing with that amount of time that you're living your life? We don't have very much of it.
No. No, and that's the big problem is, I mean, like I said, the corporate culture, you get into that mindset of even when you're not working, you're working.
Right.
You know, it's like my old job. I was at my office 10 hours a day, but I was on my phone usually from the second I got up in the morning until I went to bed. When I finally decided to leave and quit, I was talking to my wife about it on a Friday night at like 8 o'clock, and my phone rang 4 times on a Friday night at 8 o'clock from work.
Right.
And it's like, this is why I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Even when I'm not there, I'm still thinking about it, you know, and it's, you know, like you said, I mean, you turn into a sludge of a man.
Right.
You know, I've turned into someone I didn't like anymore because I was working so much.
And that's terrible.
It is.
We should never like think of ourselves in such a manner because it just skews our whole perception on life.
Yeah.
I mean, life's hard enough.
Oh, it is.
Absolutely.
And for us to tear ourselves down.
Which is one of the things I find amazing with you, which, what is it you're calling, Snipe Saunters?
Snipe Saunters is my trail name that I'll be going by.
Right, and you got a Facebook page.
Yeah, I've got a Facebook page. You can find Snipe Saunters on there, Snipe with a Y. And also I'll have a YouTube channel going live before too much longer where I'll be able to vlog from the trail and post other related information as to
all those links will be on West Coast Ops.
Yeah, and I'll probably have more on that too because I think I'll be helping Michael a little bit with making sure that he gets that, he's able to get that stuff out to you guys. So, and I mean, a little bit more of what you're doing. You're walking from Canada to Mexico, and I mean, literally, so everyone knows the gravity of this. He's not just saying, I'm going to take a couple weeks off of work, I'm taking a vacation, and I'm going to go from Canada to Mexico. We're talking about 5 months?
Yeah, between 4 and 5 months. Leave end of June, and I'll arrive in Mexico sometime around November-ish, somewhere between the 1st and 20th of November, let's say.
So you quit your job. Oh, you're going to be quitting your job.
Yeah, I gave notice a couple of months ago, and my official last day here is in about 5 weeks on June 15th.
And then you're going to get rid of your apartment.
Yep.
Sell your car.
Yep.
You're pretty much
getting rid of most of everything I own.
Getting rid of everything you own, most of everything you own, and just peacing out.
Yeah. Hitting the trail with a backpack to live like a homeless person for 5 months.
You know, how many of us have actually thought of doing this?
Just walking away from it
just
all?
Just walking away from it all, being like, peace, I'm out. And you're actually doing it.
34 now. Yeah.
And how much you gonna, how much you weigh? Let me start out. You don't have to answer that question, but it's a good one. Go for it.
Well,
you don't have to answer, but answer.
So when I start the trail, I guess I probably weigh about 240 pounds, would be my guess.
Wow.
Here's my predictions. By the time he finishes this, he's going to be the same size as Jesse. And Tatiana is going to beat Jesse before then in a race. Those are my predictions.
Line?
By November. By the time he gets back from Mexico, Tatiana will beat you in a race.
That's okay. We'll see. you know, she's got youth on her side.
She does.
I'm 40 years old over here. Ran a lot of miles.
I know.
Sometimes I get a little tired.
I'm just saying she's getting better. And that, those are the things I love to see. I love to see people like, you know, I mean, Tatiana, who's turned her life around, becoming a great athlete. And I think she's got a huge future ahead of her, you know, as an athlete. And guys like Michael here, who has pretty much done what we've all dreamed of doing. At some point where we've all just been like, you know, I'm tired of work. I'm tired of the people. I'm tired of everything else. Peace out. See you later. I'm gone.
Right.
And he's going
to
do it.
You know, what I'd like to point out is like the amount you must, since you're very successful in what you do and the amount of energy you spend to be successful for somebody else or something else, call it the corporation, the company, whatever you work for. Think about, man, if you like put all that energy into doing something you wanted to do.
Absolutely.
What you could create, you know what I mean? Because you've made who knows countless amount of dollars and sold a whole bunch of your soul for a little bit that they give you.
Yeah.
And just think about that. You're a creative, amazing individual of a man, not a sludge of a man. And they've led you to believe so, that you can only exist out within their realm. But you've somehow woke up and seen it, that you can walk away and things are going to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There'll be a life after this. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got all sorts of crazy ideas after this. But
what are you going to do when you get to Mexico?
I have a feeling, you know, being by myself for 2,700 miles.
You're not going to want to be alone
living in a tent and all of that.
He's going to find himself a little senorita.
But I will, you know, probably have plenty of time to think about what I want to do when the trail's done in that alone time. But
you might meet somebody on the trail or a lonely dog.
Yeah, anything could happen.
A bear, you know.
Yeah, I might meet a bear. You know, I was thinking this today. One item that I really need to include in my safety kit is a laser pointer. Because, you know, like, I think one of the big fears if I'm out there is, like, what if I run into a cougar on the trail? And so, like, I think.
You gotta shoot it with a laser beam?
No,
you're going to use a laser
pointer to distract it. Because you know how cats play with the laser beams on the ground? I'm just going to shoot it on the ground and let it play with it and like lead it away from me.
I'm not sure that's going to work with a cougar, but.
When you're doing your video vlogs from the trail,
yeah.
please.
We
yes.
want to see this.
We want to see this.
Yeah. Big old mountain lion.
Chasing a laser pointer.
I can see this turn into a Disney movie.
It could be.
You come out of like the forest leading all these animals and singing songs.
Oh, great, absolutely.
God.
The cougar's going to be riding on the bear's back.
Wow.
The moose is going to dance.
Mooses don't dance. They do, actually.
Yeah.
So anyway, bringing it back around, though, man, this is cool. And there's like, we keep saying corporate, but not everybody works for the corporate,
no.
The corporate world.
No.
Like me, I'm in construction. Somewhere up there, there's a corporate world part of it, but I don't get to see it. I see the trenches and the ditches and the pipes and whatever it is, the mud. But
I get to see all that then go back to my corporate office.
We know the way I think to kind of get to the point that you're talking about here, like I've talked to my clients about this because I've talked to people about like financial advising and planning and saving and things like that. And I've always told people like, you know, when you're saving more money, You know, it's like you're buying years of your life. You can now retire earlier with the finances to do whatever you want. You are literally saving to buy years of your life that you can't get any other way. And you know, it's kind of like the same mindset as this. Like, if you're working and you're in the corporate world and you're miserable, or in any world that you're working in and you're miserable, you are literally selling hours of your existence that you're never going to get back, hours of your short lifespan on this planet.
Yeah, we don't know how long it's going to be.
We don't know how long it's going to be. And, you know, let's say even things are great. Let's say you live 100 years to be 100 years old. That's not a lot of time. That's really not that long.
No, it takes you at least 30-something years to figure out that you were wrong about most of it.
Yeah. And then, you know, another 30 years to figure out you still don't know what's going on. Beyond that,
right.
You know, selling yourself for money, for this precious time that you have left, if you're not happy and you don't have yourself and you're the core of who you are, then like, what's the point?
Right. Absolutely. What is the point?
Very true. I mean, it's something really to think about.
Yeah. What is the point?
You're selling yourself for all this. For money that you're never going to have the time to use because you're trying to make more money.
Right.
Before, you were saying your retirement, you're actually buying years back. But
while you're working, you know, all those hours, you're selling hours of your life for that money.
Right. But you're talking about the years at the end of the road.
Well, that's what I used to talk to my clients about originally. But to your point, on the other side of that spectrum, you know, if you get paid $20 an hour, let's say, your company's going to give you $20, and that's an hour that you're not doing anything you want to do for. You're not, you know, going for a run. You're not doing anything that's necessarily
an hour of your life
that you'll never get back
for $20.
Yeah,
for $20.
How many twenties does it take to make 100?
Five.
How much is the average rent
in Seattle?
Right. Yeah. Right.
What's $2,000 plus
$1,500 somewhere around that. How many hours is that?
A lot of hours
of life just to put a roof over your head.
Just put a roof over your head. And then on top of that, you need a car.
Yep.
You need a car so you can get around. You know, how much does that cost you a month?
Plus
$400 plus gas. Plus insurance.
Just to get to and from work.
Just to get to and from work. Yeah, just to get to and from work.
For the 36 hours you have left over to live your life. And to spend it thinking negatively about yourself, thinking that all the things that you can't do that you wish you would do, and just not taking action on any of it. So that means that the 36 hours you have left, I'm speaking of you personally because you calculate, I'm going to go home tonight. I'm going to mark down and do the math how many hours I have of my life, not including work. But it makes those things more valuable than the amount that I'm giving those hours of life up for work. I mean, we gotta support ourselves, but please, everybody,
yeah. I mean,
support yourselves. But
when the work becomes your entire life.
Exactly.
I mean, I see it too much. I mean, I know people who get up at 4 o'clock in the morning so that they can make sure to beat traffic because they work so far away. And then they don't get home until 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And they eat. And pretty much by 7, they're in bed and going to sleep. And it's like, you basically were out of work, not driving, not doing something for work for 2 hours.
Right.
Then you went to bed.
Miserable, terrible. It's horrible. I mean, take the amount of hours that you're off the clock, but you're spending time getting to the clock,
yeah.
And you divide that by how much you make an hour or by a day, you divide it, and then all of a sudden you make way less.
Yeah.
Is your work life, the time in your life, worth that less of amount?
Exactly.
This is our lives. We're the ones that manifest and we create it. Where you find yourself now, you created that. Mm-hmm. But that's why you recognize, and what's beautiful about it is that you can uncreate it.
Yeah, you recognize it, you're changing it.
Yeah.
You're like, nope, this isn't what I want to do.
I spend my time doing more things that make me happy and help me to thrive as a human.
Right.
In the short time I have.
It's going to peace out.
It's a beautiful thing, man. And then you're going to keep us posted on the whole adventure, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because along the way, you get stops for Wi-Fi and stuff like that where you can – it's like every 2 or 3 days, I think you said, that there's somewhere that you can use Wi-Fi to –
Yeah, so for the most part during the trail, so, you know, just to clarify one thing, I'm of course going to be like camping, living in a tent like a homeless person, really, for this 4 to 5 months. And about every 3 to 7 days, I should encounter a town. And in that town, I can resupply and get food at a grocery store or whatnot and fill up for however many miles I have ahead of me. So it's pretty rare that I have to go 100 miles or more before a town, although there's some stretches in the Sierra Nevadas where I do run into that, you know, because I'll be basically making my way down through the Cascades to the Sierras and then across the Mojave on that venture.
That's cool.
So that'll be cool. So if you set up a YouTube channel, you'll be able to let everyone know every 3 or 4 days there should be something new of like, hey, this is where I'm at. Look at how skinny I am. I'm almost as small as Jesse now. I mean, kind of stuff. I mean,
You know, I'll be posting updates to Facebook every time I get a chance, letting people know I'm alive. And I'm actually looking into an opportunity to produce some data for people. There's a device I'm looking at that will actually live stream my location, essentially. It's a satellite-based GPS system.
Nice.
That every 30 minutes it will ping me with where I'm at in the world. And so you can see the progress I'm
That's
making
cool.
and how far along
so
I'm going.
So when I see you doing circles, you found the cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, like, you know, figure eight. That's the cat.
Okay, cool.
Or the cat ate him, and that's what's in its stomach.
Right.
That's awesome, man. So let's just, to close this up, we're going to check back in with you before you head on this adventure.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
When's the day you set out?
June 26th to 28th, right in there is when I'm going to set out, depending on a few factors, weather and whatnot.
And so what's you? You're on Snipe Saunters, right?
Mm-hmm. Snipe with a Y.
You'll be, all the links will be up on WCO pages.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And is there like, do you have like an account set up that people can like support your endeavor here? Or what about sponsorships? Anybody that wants to be a part of it, you know, I mean, this is a great exposure for anybody that has like-minded equipment or gear or endeavors.
I've applied to a few different sponsorships and stuff. I haven't gotten much of a word back yet on anything, but I am thinking about, I've seen some other hikers and various people that have tried to set up a similar system to what I am, and they've had things like Patreon accounts and things like that where you can subscribe to a service and, you know, you might get extra like questions and answers about like live questions and answers while I'm on the trail or whatnot.
Like, have you found the cat yet?
Like, yeah, have you found the cat yet? And what's going on with that? And so you can subscribe to those services and get extra updates and stuff for me for like, you know, $5 a month or something. I haven't worked out the details on that yet. Yeah. But that's one way, you know, people are trying to help support the cause and whatnot.
So you're open to talk to anybody, any sponsors or companies that would like to ride along or walk along with you? So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just,
no.
Like the West Coast obstacles walk along at the beginning.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
For 72 miles.
Right. I'll be going along with you.
Yeah. So
wherever to Canada
and back. Yeah. Hart's Pass to Canada and back, which, as I was telling you earlier, so it's roughly 72 miles. I tallied it all up this morning, and so we'll have 7,000 vertical feet of gain. Across that first section to Canada, and then we're going to have about 9,200 vertical feet of gain on the way back. So
just a little bit
fun little hike. I think across the entire PCT, the vertical gain is something like 300,000 or 400,000 feet.
Wow.
Some
That's
massive amount
space,
of vertical
dude.
Gains.
Your calves are going to be just on point.
Right, it's going to be all thin.
What do they say now on fleek or something?
Calves.
I saw a statistic on like how many Mount Everests that is on top of each other. But yeah, it's a lot.
Pacific Crest Trail?
Yeah.
Pacific Crest Trail. That's beautiful. Cool. We're going to check in with you here shortly. So appreciate you, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Anytime. This is a blast.
Letting us film the podcast.
Yeah.
This is a big thing that you have a lot of passion and heart behind.
Oh, yeah.
Its main purpose was for the Beast OCR team, but you've done amazing things with it.
you know. I really appreciate you joining us.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be doing this again.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. This is fun. I mean, it's something that's cool to kind of figure out. And, I mean, maybe something that you can look at maybe, you know, doing on a more regular basis. So
absolutely. Like the cooking show.
Yeah.
Cooking show where, you know, it's all having visions and taking actions on them. Not everything's a hit. You know, sometimes things don't work out, but, you know, don't be afraid to try.
Nope, you got to try.
I personally learned in life is do not be afraid to fail.
Yeah.
I've failed so many times in life. I'm not afraid of it. It doesn't bother me anymore. Whatever. I know I'm not going to die because of that. And if I do, so what? You only die once. You know what I mean? It can't be that.
Oh, yeah.
Yodo.
Huh?
Yodo. There used to be that you only live once thing.
No, you only die once.
Now it's Yodo. You only die once.
Beautiful. All right.
That'll be the fourth chant this year.
Yep.
Mike, anything else you want to say to people?
Thanks for listening to my rants today. appreciate you joining the podcast. And you know, if you want to follow me and my adventures and misadventures, you can find me at Snipe Saunters on both Facebook and before too much longer, my YouTube channel will go live, where I'll be posting a lot of my content too.
All right.
And yeah, thanks for listening. It's been great. If you've taken nothing else from this episode, find your passion, find your life, get off the couch, and go do it.
Your life.
Find your life. Exactly.
You have no excuses. Bye. Bye.
Yodo.
Grays Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors, if you work up a sweat, Grays Harbor Unders are for you because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. You can find us on Facebook or at beastocr.com.